Welcome to another episode of the Replant Bootcamp, the podcast for church renewal leaders where we listen, learn, and laugh together with boots on the ground church leaders. I'm your host, Jimbo Stewart. This podcast is sponsored by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. Getting a website that your visitors and members will love doesn't have to be hard. Learn more at churchquicksight.com. Here we are back at it again, back at another episode. I hope you're ready for another episode of the Replant Bootcamp. Back with Wesley Lewis, founder, CEO, El Presidente of 180 Digital, here to talk to us about church websites. And I mean, it's kind of the bread and butter of 180 Digital. It's not the only thing you guys do, but it's kind of like maybe the central thing that you guys offer.
It is definitely the central thing that we do, not just building, but supporting, maintaining, hosting. Our heart between starting this business was the reality that pastors need to pastor, and oftentimes things are going to fall through the cracks, and websites are one of those. Understanding how important that is to our culture today, it can make or break a church, honestly, and wanting to have everything that they need so they have a trusted partner and don't have to worry about that kind of stuff anymore, and they can go back to doing the things that they need to be doing and God's called them to do. And so we partner with them in that way, and I really do view it as a ministry. So that's kind of what God's put on my plate right now, and happy to do it.
So when you talk about church websites, you talk about them in a way that it's assumed that every church should have a website. Talk to me about why. So why is it important for a church to have a website?
Yeah, great question. I mean, the reality is 80% of visitors discovered their church online before attending in person. So 80% of people that walk through the back door of your church, if you have a website, found you online before they visited in person. And that's the case with everything. It's not just churches. It's the restaurants we visit. It's the businesses that we get involved with. We're going to websites to get information, to help educate us to make decisions. And so for churches, a website is crucial, because I know a lot of the times for years we've relied on just word of mouth, and word of mouth is by far the most effective way to get people to come to your church, not downing that at all. But it is one of those things that having a website where people can get information about your church, learn about you, get a feel for what kind of church you are, can make a huge impact on whether they attend in person. And so having that website is crucial to that journey that people make towards visiting your church in person.
Yeah, and what I love about 180 Digital, you guys are ministry-minded. So it's not like asking a random company to build a website, but it's you guys with the ministry heart. And you know, considering the 80%, that's a large percentage of people that are coming through are looking at it first online. But I mean, that makes sense. If I'm going to go out to eat somewhere, I'm looking up on Yelp and I want to see online and I want to look on their website, you know, before I go visit somewhere, I always want to see what I can see online, get a little bit of better understanding of what I'm walking into. So if, as you've worked with churches on their websites, what are you seeing out there? Like, do most churches these days have a website? And if they do, is it effective?
Yeah. So, you know, going into this, starting a web development agency, I assumed that most churches had a website. And as I started to work with churches moving forward, I realized those assumptions are wrong. And so that's actually kind of what motivated us. We actually did a research project on this because I really just wanted to know. I didn't want to guess. I wanted to have some hard numbers. We did a lot of scouring the internet trying to find it. And we realized no one's really done a lot of research around this. And we had the ability to be able to do it. So we decided to kind of put our heads together and come up with a way to kind of gauge this, and not just gauge it, but while we're looking at websites, what are the things that church websites should have? Auditing those websites to be able to see, do they have the things that actually make them effective? And get a good feel for kind of the state of the digital church. And for us, you know, understanding that the reality is people spend so much time online, and, you know, Gen Z spends over 6 hours on their phone every single day. That's going to increase. And so it's important for churches to understand online is not just a way to advertise your church. It's also a digital mission field of opportunity for your church to reach people it would never reach in person. And so, you know, we want to, that's how we help churches and come alongside them And we've made this list of 10 things that are really kind of must-haves for effective church websites. It was really interesting to find out the truth, kind of how many churches don't have a website. It was very shocking to me and my team, to be honest with you.
Wow. You know, you talk about Gen Z and how many hours they're going to spend on their phone. I don't know that the numbers are entirely that different with boomers. Like when I'm around my mom, I mean, like she's always either on her phone or iPad and looking at stuff. I think we're at this unique moment where more people are deeply connected in some form online, not always in the same spaces. That's, I think, maybe the big difference now is you're not going to find different generations in the same spaces anymore, but they're all online in one form or another. So I do think this is an important thing for churches to consider. Let's dive into it. What's number one? What's the first must have for an effective church website?
Yeah, the most obvious thing is that you have to have a website. So number one, just having one to begin with in the first place. We were looking at this to say, okay, what percentage of churches have a website? And we did this research across several southern states to see, and we saw similarities. And honestly, when I first started into the project, we thought, you know, maybe just kind of given our educated opinion, we thought, you know, maybe it might be 25, maybe 30% of churches might not have a website, but most churches have one. That was our assumption. But after we did this and we said, okay, what percentage of churches, and we had the roles, we had the rosters, and we were going through there and auditing those, we ended up finding out that 46% of the churches that we audited did not have a website at all. So 46%, which was significantly more than we thought. And we really realized this for us, for me personally, it was just a light bulb moment where I felt real true alignment with kind of the passion and skills and abilities that God had given me to be able to tackle a problem. I'm like, you know, we are geared up and able, and God has skilled us and given us, gifted us in a way to be able to deal with this issue. And we want to do something. And our whole team was just kind of blown away by that and felt the same way. Like, hey, we can do something about this. And we know that more people will be reached and God would be glorified if we can get more churches online in a way that actually helps their church grow.
Mm. That is surprising. One of my questions is it better to not have a website or to have a bad website? Like, which is worse, not having one or having a bad one?
Well, I'm afraid that if I say not having one is better, that people are going to use that as an excuse to not have one. So I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to say it's best for you to have a good website. And let me say this. It doesn't have to be complicated. People want to make it complicated. It doesn't have to be the most beautiful. It just needs to have organized information that people are looking for, organized in a way that makes it easy for them to find. I mean, that's it. So it doesn't have to be the most beautiful thing, but it also needs to not be bad enough that people don't get a bad taste in their mouth for what the church is, because that basically shows the church doesn't care. And who wants to go to a church that they feel like doesn't care, especially if you're in Gen Z? That's a big issue.
All right. So number one, you got to have one. What's number two?
Yeah. So having some form of branding or identity. So do they have a logo? And that doesn't necessarily, we weren't looking for the best logos. We weren't rating their logo. Just like, okay, do they have some sort of sense of a brand or identity where they have colors, they have a logo that basically kind of ties things together? And honestly, in each one of these things that we go over, or that I mentioned here, that will be, we're setting the bar real low here just to try to say, okay, do they have this? Do they not? And what's important about a logo is it conveys professionalism versus just kind of having the title of your church, the name of your church at the top. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, having a logo where it gives you some sort of way for people to identify, hey, this website belongs to this church. This is the right church that I'm going to because the logo is the same on the website. So visually, we tie those things together. So it helps kind of tie together things into what we would consider in the marketing agency a brand, but just from a church perspective, just gives it identity.
Okay. So one, have a website. Two, have some sort of clear identity of who you are. What's number three?
Yeah. So three is probably the most subjective of the ones that we identified, and that is a design component. Does it have a trustworthy design? And that's what design does, is it builds trust. It conveys professionalism in a similar way to a logo. They had the information organized in a way. Does it look like something's missing? You know, like there's supposed to be something here and it's not here. Are they using 20 colors? You know, just kind of looking like someone tried to put together a website and keep it organized in a way that it would present information that the people were actually looking for.
Okay, so one, it's got to be there. Two, it needs to be clear identity. Three, it needs to be designed in such a way that it conveys trust and people know what's going on when they look at it.
Number four is their website responsive? And what we mean by that is it something that can be viewed on a mobile device? So whether that's a tablet or a phone, because the reality is those first interactions are happening on a mobile device. 95% of people aged 16 to 21 have a mobile device. So that's how they're interacting with the web. So those internet users that are 16 to 21 years old, 95% of them are using a mobile device to do pretty much all of their online browsing. And so it's important that you put a website together, what we call mobile first or responsive, and that it's a way that it's going to react and look good on a mobile device. Because if somebody looks at it on, it may look great on the desktop. You're looking on your laptop, sure, it looks great. But if they pull it up on their phone, it looks all disjointed. Again, that doesn't convey trust. It doesn't convey professionalism, doesn't convey those things. And you're going to lose the opportunity with those visitors.
Yeah, I have been to websites that on my phone, I couldn't make heads or tails of what was actually happening on the website. And I think it's true. I'm definitely older than 21. And twice as old. And the majority of my web surfing is going to be on my phone. It's not going to be on the computer. And so I think that is an important thing that probably a lot of people overlook.
Yeah. And they don't really look at, okay, how does my menu look in, on a mobile phone? Like how can people read announcements? You know, people were into sliders and things like that for a long time. Those often don't translate well to mobile devices. So there's been some design standards that have changed because of that. So, and we track all the websites that we do. We set those up with analytics. So I can say this with, you know, with confidence. About 40% of the traffic that goes to all of our websites is mobile. So it tracks whether it's mobile or desktop. And then kind of, you know, the rest of the majority of that is on a desktop or a laptop. And then just a little bit of it is usually from a tablet of some sort. But the majority, 35 to 40%, is coming from a smartphone or a mobile phone.
Okay. What's the next must-have?
So the next must-have is they need to have a clear call to action. So they had to have a website, have to have a logo, had to have some trustworthy design. It needs to be responsive on a mobile device. They also need to have a clear call to action. So what is it that they're asking people to do? Oftentimes these are buttons that are, you know, styled a little bit differently to make them a little more prominent. A call to action is the primary thing that you're asking someone to visit your website to do. So whether that is to plan their visit, whether that is to contact us, whether that is to give, I don't actually recommend that one, but it, you know, what is it the main thing that you want people to do and make it obvious? So that's where people, I read an interesting book, it's called Don't Make Me Think. And it's a book about user experience. And it is basically to say, if I have to think too much, then I'm not going to do it. So you have to point out the obvious. And that's where the call to action comes in to say, this is probably what you're looking for, the information right here. So please do this one thing.
Is this where, when we had you on the previous episode to talk about StoryBrand, is this where using some of that type of stuff helps make that call to action more relevant?
Yeah, especially when you start thinking from it, using the StoryBrand framework, that what is it that they're looking for? And I think that's important. We sometimes approach what we want them to do, but it's not really about that. It's about what they are looking to do. So from that kind of user perspective, what is it that they want? What information are they looking for? And a website is absolutely one of those places that you can apply the StoryBrand framework on every page, especially on the homepage, be able to identify and lay those things out. And a call to action is a huge part of the framework and understanding what is it that you're asking them, what are you asking them to do, but it also needs to align with what are they looking to do. And that's where the call to action button comes in.
Okay. So what's the next must-have for an effective church website?
We also looked at online giving, and there's been plenty of research around that, that adding an online giving option increases church donations by over 30%. That's well researched because there's a lot of companies in that space. And so we understand that that's an important part for a church, is having the funds to be able to do the ministry that they want to do. And so we wanted to know, do these churches have online giving? And that was one thing, too, that we realized. We kind of assumed that the majority of them would have online giving. Well, we actually found out that almost 60% did not, that only 40% of the churches that we audited had online giving. And there can be a lot of philosophical reasons as to why they're apprehensive about online giving. But I do think that that is an expectation, especially now that we have tap and go payments. Everybody wants it to be so seamless, and setting up those online giving portals so that people can give online, give reoccurring gifts, all those sorts of things is going to be crucial, because especially as boomers and things get older, Gen Z, it's just the standard. There is no other way that they would want to pay. They don't carry cash. They don't write checks. So they're not going to do any of that. They want to give online using a debit card or their phone even. So having options like that on your website so that people can give. And ultimately, we believe that that helps the church receive more gifts, because you've got people who'd never attend your church potentially can give you, and I've seen this happen, significant gifts. And that isn't always the case, but it does help you understand that people who have never, with a website, people who never would can never darken the door of your church, can watch online, can follow your church online, can give to your church online, can feel connected to your church online. And that's a huge opportunity, again, to speak to that digital mission field that exists out there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's absolutely true. You talk about Gen Z, they're not carrying cash. I don't even know if they have checks. I don't even know if you, when you start a bank account now, if they give you a checkbook, because there's almost no scenario where you need to use that anymore, because everything is done digitally. And so I've heard, I don't know the numbers, and maybe you do, I've heard that when you do online giving, typically you'll see a percentage increase in your regular giving.
Yeah, it gives your congregation the ability to be able to set up that automated giving. Now, I understand we want it to be a sacrifice. We want it to be an act of worship to the Lord. 100%, I agree with that. But the easier we can make it for them to automate that process, they're going to be much more consistent in that, and our cash flow with the church is going to be more consistent. That's going to help us do more ministry. So having that as an option is a really powerful way for your church to do more for the kingdom in that way.
What number are we on?
So that was number 6. Number 7, we just wanted to know whether they were live streaming their service. And that just was a simple, just kind of while we're in there, we wanted to see what percentage of churches are live streaming their service. And we know that's kind of a new thing, especially come COVID, that that is something that really was a new thing to kind of enter the scene. Everybody was kind of getting their feet under them regarding that. And so it was really interesting to be able to find out if that's important. Now, why is live streaming your church important? And I really don't feel super strongly one way or another whether a church does this or doesn't do this, whether they do it through Facebook or YouTube or on their website or some other platform. I do think that from a visitor perspective, people are looking to experience your church service before they actually attend in person. So they're kind of looking for a preview. The live streaming kind of comes into giving potential visitors a preview of what it would be like to be at a service. And I think people are really looking for that. I know it can be hard because of volunteers, and I've been there dealing with trying to do live stream well. There's so much technical stuff that goes along with that. And so here's what I would say. If your church can't do a live stream, that is okay. But one thing you can do is maybe potentially invest in just a video that would kind of demonstrate those things online, that would give someone a preview of your service, of a sermon, of a worship song, to kind of give them an idea of what it would be like. That can accomplish the same thing. So whether it's just a one standoff kind of video or whether it's regularly live streaming your service. And for those who do live stream their service, it can be one of those ways that your church can stay connected with, that your congregation can stay connected with your church without actually being physically present. As busy as we are, people go on vacation, they're involved with sports teams, whatever, we want to give them the ability to stay connected even when they can't be there physically. And live streaming gives that.
Okay, that's good. What's number 8?
Yeah, number 8, and let me say this about this list. This is not in order of priority except for probably number 1. So these aren't necessarily in order of priority, especially that's true with this next one, which is, do they have service times and location posted? And that is a huge one. Okay, so I probably would rank this number two in the whole thing. It can be so difficult to try to find what time a service begins and their address on their website. Or they'll hide it, or it'll be in small text, and it's buried in the footer of the website. And we really are looking to, do they have it in a place that it's prominent, that's easy to find? So you want to make sure that it is up towards the top of your website, kind of either right before what we call the above the fold section of the website, so that it's easy, just one scroll and that information is there, if not even in the header section of your website, making sure that it's easier for people to know what time the service begins. Sometimes I see churches struggle with how, you know, they want to put too much, like here's Sunday morning, here's Wednesday night, here's Sunday school, here's Sunday night. Just Sunday morning. Okay, Sunday morning is where you're going to get most of your visitors. What's the most important thing, the most important service that you have that you get visitors from? That's the information that you need to put there, and your address and location so that people can easily find you. You know, thankfully, you know, Google has kind of come alongside to provide some of this information. And this is where it's important for churches to have control of the Google business profile so that when people search, it's the information that's on the side of the search bar. Oftentimes it gives times, it gives location, it has a few pictures, gives some of the information that people are looking for. So it's important to have your service times and location in there. Make sure that they're correct so that people who maybe aren't even clicking through your website can easily find that.
Yeah, I'll even say sometimes when I, in my work, am going to see a church or go visit on a Sunday morning or something like that, even I'll put it into my GPS on Google Maps, and Google Maps will warn me, this place you're headed to is closed. And it's Sunday morning, and you know, at 10 a.m. And I'm like, it's not closed. And I know better. I know that it's not closed. But, you know, if you're your neighborhood guest or somebody that, you know, you invited or whatever decides finally to be bold enough to go on Sunday morning and put in their GPS, I just wonder if that might be one more hurdle they have to overcome of going, oh, I'm confused. Is it closed today for some reason? And maybe they don't know any better. And so they don't go. Yeah. I do think some of that, you got to get that stuff. That I would agree. That's number two. That's not number eight. let's go to number nine.
Yeah, so the next one we looked for is, do they have links, social links to their social channels? Do they have social channels? So, you know, part of the reason people often go to a website is to find, you know, did they have a web presence, but do they also have a social media presence? And that's kind of where the day in and day out of churches, church life is on social media. So whether that's Instagram or Facebook, you know, they should have links to those channels if they have them. Now, we did a scoring process. We audited these and weighted each one of these things. And this was one of those things we weighted a little bit less because we know it's hard to kind of keep up with social media and all the things that go along with that. But it's still an important part, especially younger generation are looking for, to kind of get a preview of the day in and day out life of church.
All right, number 10.
Yeah, number 10, and arguably maybe this should be number two as well, but contact information. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not talking about just address. We're talking about a phone number. We're talking about an email address. So people that go to your website are looking for contact information. And I've seen varying numbers on this ranging from 30 to 40% oftentimes of user traffic, depending on the type of website, is looking, just looking for contact information. They're just looking to call the church for some reason. And again, this is kind of one of those areas that Google has stepped in to provide some of that, but it's something that churches have to keep up on to make sure that it's accurate and correct. But it is one of those must-haves of a church website. It needs to be in the footer. I suggest having a contact page with that information on there. You know, whether you want to do a contact form or not, that's up to you. But having some, you know, the address, email, phone number, where it's easy for people to be able to find, is a crucial part of an effective website.
Okay, so these were the 10 must-haves for an effective church website. You need to have a church website. You got 80% opportunity of people coming to visit your church. So if you don't have one, you should probably do that. And at the very least, just clearly put what time they should show up and how they can get in touch with you. It's, if nothing else, I'd say those three, and then you can step into the other worlds. But the good news is, and this is not an asked for commercial, I'm just going to throw it out there. If you reach out to 180 Digital, they can help make sure you get all 10 of those things to help you focus on what you need to focus on so that you can continue to reach people.
Yeah, I've got something that we're running right now. We're running a kind of a fall promotion into the winter here. Something that we'll extend happily to your listeners if they're looking for help in this area. You can go to churchquicksite.com. That's us. That's 180 Digital. You can go to 180.digital as well. But churchquicksite.com is our solution that we put together for small churches to meet all 10 of these criteria. So we want to give churches a basic website that looks good, that has a logo that's responsive, that meets all these things, that doesn't cost an arm and a leg. You get a project manager, you get a developer. We're all believers. We all want to help your church in doing that. So, and the great thing is we've also got an amazing mobile app now. So, I mean, we have lots of different ways to help your church stay connected. And we're running some really good discounts, and I'm happy to extend those out to anybody who's listening to this, even months down the road. Please reach out to us.
Yeah, so reach out so that you heard it on the Replant Bootcamp and see what kind of extra love they'll throw your way just because you're a listener. Leslie, will you close us in prayer?
Absolutely. Father God, I thank you for, Lord, just the work that these pastors are doing day in and day out. Lord, thank you for the way that they uphold your kingdom and the way that they represent you to the people that come across their paths, Lord. I thank you for the churches and the beacons of hope and ministry that they are in the communities that they're in. Lord, I just pray favor over them. I just pray your blessing on them and their families and their wives, and Lord, that you would just bring success to them. And God, I pray that as they consider what they're doing online, Lord, their web presence, Father, I pray that you would help them be able to see things as a mission field, God, Lord, that there are people out there that they would never meet in person, but they can impact in a spiritual way because of having a good online presence, Lord. And I just pray a blessing over them, Lord. Give them success in their ministry efforts. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Replant Bootcamp podcast, where listening to the field will lead you to the future. The Replant Bootcamp podcast is brought to you by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. With Church QuickSight, you'll get a beautiful, customized website with all the features you need to help your church grow. A helpful project manager to make sure everything is just how you want it. And the legendary 180 Digital hosting and support to keep things running great. 180 Digital is a team of design, development, and marketing experts who know and love the local church. So go to churchquicksite.com to learn more and get started.